Happy Sabbath. God is good, friends. Amen. Isn't that this a beautiful song? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Friends, when I was listening to the lyrics of that song, it just hit me that we really have nothing to be proud about. We really have nothing to boast about. And when you dwell on and you focus on Calvary, it brings you to your knees. Amen? It brings you to the point of humiliation. Test. This mic is keeping me away from you guys. Can you come closer? Come. Please come closer. Let's come closer. Let's leave it to those people who are still coming. We're expecting 5,000 this afternoon. So please come forward. Yes. Yeah. It's okay. This one is okay. Looks much better. We paid for premium seats in games, don't we? And now we have to, what's this? We have to come closer to the Lord, amen? Oh, so, again, by talking about that beautiful, beautiful verse, a beautiful song that we sang a while ago, Jesus what? Jesus paid it all. So I remember we had a conversation and one of the members this lunch, and we're talking about the worries in life and all. But when you look at what God has done, what Jesus has done, friends, what is there to worry about when Jesus paid it all? When Jesus gave His life to show us that He has our back. So why do we still doubt? Why entertain those doubts? Why not entertain that beautiful gift that was doled out for you? Jesus paid it all. And this morning, remember, we talked about what? Things that keep us away from joy and peace. And can we have a review of the first one? What's one of the reasons? Number one, making plans that do not glorify God. Number two, we lean on our own strength. And number three, we don't wait on God. Among the three, which one do you usually fall? We don't wait on God. It's like divided, huh? But one thing, you know what? As a church, as a movement, we always fall on the second. And we do not lean fully on the strength that was given us. Have you noticed? We always tend to, and it's all connected. Especially the two and three are quite connected. We always go ahead of God. And have you noticed, friends, whenever there is a situation that's happening, for example, our church needs some funds. So what do we do right away? We have to do something. What do? We start fundraising. When we don't have enough students in our schools, what do? Start advertising. We go and what's this? And snatch kids along the street. We tend to somehow give the solution to the existing problem, don't we? Do you believe that existing problem is an indication that there is a bigger problem? Huh? It is an indication that there is a bigger problem that we do not deal with. And friends, this is one thing I realize, that yes, there is a situation that needs to get done, but I think and I know that God is trying to get our attention for something that's of a weightier value. And God is always wanting to work in our hearts. But we rely so much on our own solution that we somehow forgo what God is trying to do in us. And this is one thing that I'd like to share with you, because we experience it ourselves. And it's amazing, because you know what? When you have nothing to lean on except God, you learn faster. Did you get that? When you don't have anything, when you don't have a solution that is quite visible, you know that your only solution is God. But most of the time, when we are so bountiful when it comes to solution and resources, we somehow tap all the other resources before running to the Lord. You know what we do? We only ask God, Lord, this is the solution. Bless it. That's the usual thing that we do. We don't come to the Lord begging at the foot of the cross saying, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. We seldom say that prayer. Our prayer is only, Lord, please bless this. Lord, please make a solution for this. We do not come to the Lord and asking, Lord, what do you want for me to do? Is there something that you have to work in my heart? Is there something that you have to work in our hearts? And friends, we lean so much on men. We lean so much on our own strength. And as a result, we don't fully lean on God. I have this quote that I like to read to you. I just read it a few weeks ago. It says here, how many men of great natural abilities and high scholarships have failed when placed in positions of responsibility, while those of feebler intellect with less favorable surroundings have been wonderfully successful. Listen, the secret was the former trusted to themselves and the latter united with him, who is wonderful in counsel and mighty in working to accomplish what he will. Did you get this? The moment I saw this, friends, this was a comfort to me because I know I have a feebler understanding. I did not graduate a theology. And now the Lord is calling me to go speak from one place to another. My only saving grace is, you know what? Every day I come to the Lord and say, Lord, please help. I cannot do this. And the more you lean on Him, my dear friends, it's the most amazing thing. Because He shows you. And this is one lesson as well that I was not just enjoying for myself. I was enjoying it with a group of people that I work with. Back home in the Philippines, we have this group, Philippine Youth for Christ. It's like the GYC in the Philippines. And you know what, in the Philippines, it's a third world country. Who among you here has been in the Philippines? Okay, I see a few hands here. Yes, we have some Filipino in the house. And some missionaries have been to the Philippines. And you know what? In Philippines, it's quite a challenge for us whenever we come up with some events, especially with the young people. With the young people, you resort to fundraising. Because most of our young people really don't have that much money. So when we started Philippine Youth for Christ, we were trying to do the things that the world was doing. We're trying to give our own projection. So if we need this much amount of money, so we need to raise funds. We need to come up with a scheme, with a strategy, how to raise this. So we even have like a quota for each and every officer. Each and every officer should raise $100. $100 is nothing much in the US, isn't it? You have to reach, like, and it's not your money, you have to ask around. And in the Philippines, it's quite a challenge. And you know what? $100, we could barely meet it. And every time that we have to come together and pay the whole amount, we're always stressed out. 3 years in a row. And it's funny because every time that it's payment time or conference time, our vice president for financial affairs, she could not smile. Seriously, she could not smile. For the next 2 months, you could see her face being drawn really down. And I tell her, let's leave it to the Lord. And later on, she confessed to me, you're always saying, let's leave it to the Lord, but I'm the one facing all our creditors. So she's the one who's always burdened. And until 3 years ago, the Lord convicted me. You are giving your own solution. You do not run to me. And you know why? The Lord got my attention because we were put to the test. We moved out of, for some very interesting reasons, we moved out from Manila and went to my hometown. And in Manila, friends, there is this facility. It's called 1000 Missionary Campus. 1000 Missionary Campus, there's already a huge church there. A gym, dorms, tent areas. So people who could not afford the dorms, they could just set up their tents. And when it rained so hard, they could go and have their tents inside the gym. So we have that facility. In my hometown, no. We have to rent everything. So when we moved to my hometown, friends, the cost just went up to the roof. Because we really have to pay now because since the group is getting bigger, the church is not enough. Just the church membership alone is not enough. Plus the youth conference attendees. So we have to rent a Catholic university auditorium. That's $100 per hour. And now our workshop halls, it's not in classrooms. It will be in hotel conference rooms. And our rents now for hotels, for dorms before, for guest room, it's not dorms and guest rooms now. It's hotel accommodation for our speakers. So we were getting scared and thinking, Lord, what are we going to do? And friends, praise God for desperate situations. Would you agree? I told my friends, hey, we have to come together and pray. So we prayed and prayed until the Lord really got our attention. And now the Lord gave me this interesting situation because I was asked to speak in Canada for a conference. I'm making this story shorter for the sake of time, especially that part, because this is just like five sermons squeezed into one. In Canada, they invited me to speak, but they did not promise that they will pay my way. Friends, remember, how much do I earn? Zero. And remember, do I have a bank account? No, at the beginning, but now I have a bank account. I'm a rich missionary. I have a bank account. American bank account. Oh, isn't God good? God is good. So I'm thinking, wow, during the time that I was working for myself, planning for my life, I don't even have a bank account with this sufficient amount. I'm thinking, wow, Lord, this is such a huge blessing. And now the Lord was somehow convicting me that I have to pay for my way to Canada. You know how much it will cost? It costs like $1,160. You know how much do I have in my bank account? $1,200. And I'm thinking, Lord, you're emptying my bank account. And I'm thinking, Lord, can you just move the people to pay for my fare? It would be easier that way. But Lord, friends, the Lord doesn't want it easy for us. Easy is boring, friends. There's no testimony in easy. There's no testimony in easy. We don't go up here and say, friends, my life is so easy. Are you moved? You don't have a good testimony in easy, huh? We don't pray for an easy life. We pray for God to be glorified in our lives. Amen. So friends, you know what? The Lord just pulled me aside and said, you have to pay for your way. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm reserving this money for PYC next year. And the Lord convicted me. It's not this year. So, and I said, Lord, this is for your missions. And the Lord convicted me, that's my mission too. But Lord, they have money. But I put the money in your bank. I'm thinking, Lord, what will I do with PYC next year? So I was really conflicted. And the more I prayed, the more the Lord is convicting me to pay for my ticket. And friends, by the way, I was contacting the president of the conference there, and he was not responding. I was contacting his wife. He was not responding. Now, I contacted the Lord. That Lord responded, pay for your way. And I was refusing. I was kicking and screaming to pay for my way. I have not bought anything that expensive in my life. And something that you buy that amount and then you could not see it. And it really pains my heart. I'm thinking, Lord, we are selfish human beings, aren't we? And especially this little missionary. So I'm thinking, Lord, please, calm my heart down. And the Lord somehow convicted me, the only way that your heart would calm down is when you obey me. So friends, I paid for my ticket. And by the way, friends, there's no confirmation that I'll be speaking because he did not respond. I just paid for my ticket. And the moment I paid my ticket, God is a God of divine appointments, isn't he? God doesn't work with coincidences. We think it's coincidence, but it's not. That week, remember, I only go back to my hometown like 2 weeks in a year. I'm in the Philippines for like 2 months in a year, but I'm back in my hometown only for like 2 weeks in a year, sometimes three. So that week, that particular week that I went back in my hometown, I was asked to teach our evangelism training class in our conference. So that week, it was only for a week. And that week was the last week of this person who was teaching, and he's from Canada. And he's part of that organizing team. I said, oh, Kuya Jem, I heard you're going to Canada. I said, yes. I said, so what date? And I said, oh, this day. He said, oh, that's for our camp meeting. He did not know that I purchased the ticket for the camp meeting. And then he asked me, so do you have a place to stay? And I said, no. I said, can you stay at my house? I said, yes. Accommodation sold right away. So friends, and another thing. And I said, so if you're coming to the camp meeting, can you speak for the young people? Can we speak for the youth, for the divine service? And I said, okay. And I said, since you're speaking for the divine service, can you speak for the afternoon program as well? I said, okay. Friends, now I have two appointments to speak. And by the way, before I purchased the ticket, I was praying to the Lord, letting him lead. How long would you want me to stay in Canada? And the Lord gave me the date of exit for Canada. He gave me peace. And you know how long will I stay in Canada? 6 weeks. I'm thinking, Lord, this is crazy. 6 weeks? I don't even have a confirmation to speak. And now it was confirmed already. Now, and then the pastor who invited me, who did not contact me later on, he heard that I was coming. So he gave up his speaking engagements, his morning devotional, and he let me speak for his morning devotional. So right away, the whole program was changed at the last minute. So when I arrived, friends, make long story short again, the morning devotional was really special. And this is only Friday, Saturday, Sunday camp meeting. So I spoke in morning, Sabbath morning, for the morning devotional. And the people could not get in. Remember my testimony about the visa that I shared here last year? I chopped it to two parts. So the first part I spoke on Sabbath morning, and the second part will be spoken on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, almost nobody shows up. If there's 20 people that shows up, it means to say, wow, that's a good number. And they'll begin to show up late in the morning. Friends, what happened was the Lord began to pull their hearts on Saturday morning. They began to talk about the testimony. And now people who did not have plans of staying in the camp, stayed in the camp. People already went back to Vancouver, drove back to the camp. That's 2 hours, friends. And in the morning when we started, you know how many people were there? More than 60 people showed up. And when the appeal was made, people were coming forward weeping. And the pastor who invited me, who did not respond to my inquiries, later on stood up and he said, you know what? He confessed to the whole congregation, this blessed experience would not have happened and it would have been my fault. And he was teary-eyed. And he said, Jem has been trying to get my attention, asking me if it is confirmed. And I did not have the heart to somehow tell him that we don't have the funds to fly him over. That's why I was not, and he did not tell me this. And he just revealed it in front. And he said, but this little missionary has a bigger faith than I do. And I told him, you just don't know what happened. You just don't know. And I told him, Pastor, you know what? It's God. Because I was kicking and screaming. I did not want to buy the ticket. I did not want to buy the ticket. The Lord has to twist my arm and lift me up. God is amazing, isn't he? And you know what, friends? Because of that experience, after that happened, one by one, people gave me envelopes after envelope after envelope. Later on, when I tallied the whole amount, it was more than 7 times of what I have given. And for that reason, I was able to go around the U.S. to buy my ticket from one place to another. Some people who invite me, they buy my ticket. Some who could not afford, I buy my own ticket. And here I see that if you do not withhold from God, the Lord will not withhold from you. And I was so inspired by this experience. I told my fellow young people back home, the group, and I told them, hey, you have to experience what I've been experiencing. And said, what is that? Let us give sacrificially for the Lord. So we set up this self-denial fund. You know, we have this box of self-denial fund. It goes like this. If you want to go and eat in McDonald's, it's not really healthy, I'll put it in a self-denial fund. That's for the organization. If you want to buy a shirt, do I really need this? No, self-denial fund. So it all, the amount of the self-denial fund began to grow, but it's still very small. And friends, we were trying to raise that fund for the accommodation of the speakers. And it will cost us 127,000 pesos to pay the hotel. 127 pesos. You know how much we reached? 29,500. We still have 90,000 plus to reach, and that's nearly 2,000 pesos. And I'm thinking, how could we do this? But friends, you know what happens? The more we sacrificially give, the more we put our hearts in the line for the Lord's work, the Lord began blessing. People were calling me, hey, Jem, where can I send you $500? Hey, Jem, give me your bank account. I'm sending $1,000. Jem, when can you pass by my clinic? I have $600 for you here. Another person will call me, Jem, when can we have dinner? I have $800 for you. And I'm thinking, wow, where can you find a job that people ask you for dinner and then they pay you? Isn't that amazing? Friends, God is the one moving the hearts of people. And this is one thing, friends, that we realize. This is one thing that we realize. For the past 3 years, we have been trying to move the hearts of people. We're not good at it. But when you do the right thing, when you do what God has asked you to do, He does the moving of the heart. We make it hard for us, don't we? We give solution to the situation that is actually trying to get our attention to seek our hearts. What are the things that we need to do? So every time we have a problem in this organization, you know what do? We come together. We spend hours on our knees, weeping before the Lord, coming before the Lord. And you know what the Lord did to us, to the group? He bonded us so much that we became more than brothers and sisters. And this is one thing I see that the Lord wants to do in His church. This is one thing that I see that the Lord wants us to be in one body. Remember when Jesus, His main desire is, what is His main prayer? That they may be what? That they may be one. My dear friends, we keep on focusing on the things that's happening around us, that we don't focus on the nearest thing that this heart needs to get worked at. Amen? Friends, it is such a joy to see how the Lord really wants to work in our lives. He is a very simple God. We complicate it by not waiting on Him, by not leaning fully on Him. We complicate things. There's this quote here I'd like to read. It says, the Lord has shown me that men in responsible positions, by the way, this is not just referring to the pastors, to the deacons, to the leaders. I will associate each and every one of us in this line. The Lord has shown me that men in responsible positions are standing directly in the way of His work. We are standing directly in the way of His work. It says, because they think that the work must be done and the blessings must come in a certain way, and they will not recognize that which comes in any other way. It says here, when all shall take their appointed place in God's work, earnestly, where is our appointed place? Earnestly seeking wisdom and guidance from Him, then a great advance will have been made toward letting the light shine upon the world. When they shall cease to place themselves in the way, God will work among us as never before. Wow, friends. If we stop placing ourselves in the way, the Lord will work among us as never before. Amen? So, this went on. And by the way, friends, in this conference, we will be able to pay all our finances, all our credits, a month or 2 months after the conference. This is how it always happens. After the conference, we're still in the red, and we will be able to pay because we will still ask for more help from other people to pay our accounts. But this time, remember, we moved to a much more expensive place, and we have to pay things that we did not even pay before. Now we have to pay rent for the church, for the gathering. Before, we don't pay for the church. Friends, you know what happened? This time that it's the Lord's way. And by the way, the cost now is like 5 to 7 times more expensive than the previous ones. But we were able to pay a week before the conference even began. Isn't it amazing? And it's funny because every time we have the Sabbath worship, that's the opportunity for us to ask help from brethren, to raise offering, to somehow pay for the amount that we could not pay. And our offering, I remember the first offering that we had is, I guess, $300. The second was $400 or, oh, no. The first one was like $600 and the second one was like $800. So it's nearly $1,000 That's what we had in Manila. By the way, friends, Manila is the capital of Philippines. And now when we move to my hometown, this is a province. This is a small province, and young people has to pay for their way to go to Manila. So before our offering will cost like 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. And when we were in our hometown, remember, this is a group of young people who could not even afford, most of them could not even afford the round trip ticket. Some of them will just pay one way and pray that the Lord will provide the rest. And friends, when we collected the offering that Sabbath, you know how much was the offering? 106,000 pesos. That was the highest that we've ever experienced. And the next year, because sometimes in our lives, when the Lord shows a miracle, when the next year happens, we begin to ask ourselves, will that ever happen again? Will the Lord do it again? Will all those things that have been orchestrated this year, will that be repeated again? Those are the doubts that haunt us. Why? Because we think that God has limits. Friends, it's us who limits God. And the next year, instead of starting Wednesday, we started Monday. So the young people demanded, we want longer days, my dear friends. Longer days means longer stay in the hotel. Longer stay in the auditorium. And we have to pay like double compared to last year. Remember, it's like 5 times the cost. Now it's like 10 times. But friends, you know what the Lord showed us? And I was afraid once again. Oh, by the way, did I tell you that we did not do any solicitation? We did not do any donation campaign. The time that when we begin the self-denial fund, the Lord convicted us. No solicitation. No donation campaign. You have to dig from your own pockets. I even complained to the Lord, Lord, even if you squeeze us dry, we could not pay 1/10 of the amount. So true. But the Lord wants to see where our heart is. The Lord wants to correct our hearts before He could correct our finances. Amen? So, the next year, I was afraid. I was even thinking, Lord, maybe this year we need to do some solicitation. Maybe we need to do some fundraising because this is more expensive compared to last year. And you know what? The Lord convicted me. So, you think that I would only work in projects that you can afford? Where is faith in that? So friends, shakingly we move forward. I was really, really afraid that the Lord will not be able to get us through. But you know what happened? 3 months before the conference even began, we have the full amount. 3 months before the conference began, we have the full amount. And remember, this is a longer stay now. Instead of 4 days, now we're staying for like 6 days. And I'm thinking, oh, in our offering appeal, good luck if we could even reach 50,000 pesos. Me and my unbelief. When the offering was collected, you know how much we have collected that year? 217,000 pesos. 217! Is God limited, friends? We are the ones who limit Him. And this year is a very interesting year. you know, later while I'm laughing. Because this year, we came into the conference with $4,500 missing in our account. We lack $4,500, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, how are we going to do this? So I was afraid. And it's funny because a year before, you know what? I have fears in the year before. I'm thinking, Lord, we have all the funds. We might not need You. I did not even reveal to the officers that we have the full amount. Because if I will tell them, my fear was, if they know that we have the full amount, they will not spend more time on their knees. So this year, the Lord wanted me to be honest. So I tell them, we don't have the full amount. And the Lord brought us to our knees. Again, we came together. And they have, and friends, for them to fly to one place, it's a great sacrifice. These are students. These are missionaries. They don't have that enough means. For them to fly and meet and pray together, it's a huge sacrifice. But they did it. We came together, we prayed, we sought the Lord, and we asked that the Lord will give us more faith to move forward. Friends, we did not have enough money to move forward. And plus, there's a group of missionaries, there's a group of attendees that wants to attend, but they don't have the money. So they're asking for our sponsorship. And friends, it will cost us like another $1,500 to sponsor them. And my niece, who's the VP general, and she's saying, yeah, Manong Jem, how can we do this? How can we afford? And I said, it's not our problem, it's the Lord's problem. But friends, I was saying those words, but my heart was pounding. So let's just move forward and let's pray even more. Friends, during the conference, I remember she came to our room, Stephen and my room. She came and she said, Manong Jem, can I count the money here? Because I'm just disturbed. A lot of noise, a lot of other stuff going on outside. I cannot concentrate. So can I count the money here? And she was counting her money in the envelope. And then she just screamed, what is happening? And I was afraid. Why? What is happening? She said, my envelope says it's supposed to be 42,000 here. Why, after my count, it's 75,000. Huh. God is doing something suspicious. Why is it multiplying? And friends, God is multiplying money in our hands. And this is like my theory, friends. I believe that in the past, in last year's offering, we could not come up with 217,000 pesos. We could not come up. You know why? We sponsored more than 60 people to go. Because they don't have money. This is a conference of people who do not have money. Why could they afford to come up in an offering of 217,000 pesos? Dr. Joel, you've been in the Philippines. You know that this is quite impossible for a youth gathering to come up with this amount of money. This is quite impossible. Even 50,000 pesos is already a huge amount. To come up with 217, this is not real. This is not so real. So you know what, friends? You know my theory was that while our deacons were collecting, they have brown envelopes, while they were collecting the money, I believe that God was transforming the 20 pesos into 1,000 pesos. And the Lord was really multiplying, because there's no logical explanation for these people to afford such an amount to put in the offering plate. And friends, by the way, something changed as well. Before the offering, the usual thing that we do is appeal to people, please help us raise funds for the expenses of this event. That was one thing that we have been doing for the past 3 years. But when we did this, the first year when we did it, remember, a week before we already been paid, I stood up and instead of giving an appeal, I told them about the testimony of what God has done. I told them, before we even began, the Lord already paid off. And I told them about the sacrificial giving. And these people were inspired. And I said, so if you give, don't give for the expenses. Give from the heart and give to the Lord's cause. And the next year, the same thing happened. We are not asking for help now. We are giving a testimony. And the Lord is giving more. Friends, this year, it was scary because we lack how much? $4,500. And then we move forward. And guess what? The conference ended and everything was paid off. Everything was paid off. And 2 years ago, no, no, 2 months ago, while I was in Arkansas, I called the VP for finance and I said, hey, Gia, I heard that there's an overflow. Can you tell me how much is the overflow? Because I was expecting like $300 to $600 overflow. And she said, Brother Jem, you know what? I know you'll be shocked because we have quite an overflow. How much is the overflow? Our overflow was $4,500. That was our lack before. And the Lord just transformed the minus to plus. That's how God does it. For with God, some things are possible. What? All things are possible. And you know what? This is one thing that I observed. That this year was the closest we have been in the group. This year, we were like family. We were really like one body. And Stephen has been telling me, Jem, you have to publish the story of PYC. People needs to hear this. People needs to see how this church needs to function. Because it has been a blessing seeing what God is doing. What did we do, friends? We did not do some fundraising. We did not do some donation campaign. We searched our hearts and we know that we have some things that's not right with God. And we came together as a group. Because you know what, friends? The way I see it, the Lord is more concerned of our hearts than the work that He has placed in our hands. The work that He has placed in our hands is actually His instrument to expose to us what is in our hearts. He wants to see if you are willing to lay everything on the altar. And if that's not happen, friends, then the work of the Lord is not done in our hearts. The Lord is more concerned with His heart. Amen? And this is funny as well, because you know what? She told me, she is, by the way, an auditor. She is part of one of the prestigious auditing firm in the Philippines. I said, Brother Jem, Kuya Jem, I was trying to balance our balance sheet, but there is like a $3,000 plus that I could not account where it came from. $3,000 plus that she could not account where it came from. Friends, isn't God amazing? And this is one thing, friends, that I see. When it's God's will that is followed, when it's God's counsel that is followed, there's always a 12 baskets overflow. Did you see that? there's always 12 baskets overflow. You know what's the overflow for? To convince us that it is God who made it happen. Amen? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. God could have just fed the whole congregation. Why does Jesus command to somehow collect the extra crumbs, the extra pieces? To let us know that it's not because of the bread. It's not because of the fish. It's because of Jesus. It's because of Him. So in everything that we do, friends, whether in our church, whether in our individual lives, whether in our families, let us always go back to the main thing that God wants to work in our hearts. Every time there is a situation, always come to the Lord. Do not ask for solution. Ask Him, what is it in me that you need to work on? Can you say amen to that? Friends, this work would easily get done if we come to Him. We seek Him with all of our hearts. Lord, please, reveal to me. Wait on Him and see what He can do. And next year, I can't wait what the Lord is about to show us. With lack of funds, with lack of resources, we'd still move forward. And we know how God works now. And friends, God is a very simple God. Do not complicate it. Let's come to Him as a church and see what God will do. What God is going to do. Before I sit down, I still have one story to tell you. Last August, we were asked to go to GYC Missions in Iceland. GYC has this initiative, last GYC 18 and 19. And at the end, if you have seen GYC last year, you saw that Jonathan Walter, one of the VPs, went and rode a plane going to Iceland. And while we were having that plenary, Jonathan was having a live feed from Iceland. And he asked people to go to the ends. Remember, what is the theme of GYC last year? To the end. So to go to the ends of the world to show Christ. And friends, when we were asked to go to Iceland, Jonathan said, Jem, you need to go and be with us in Iceland because we really don't know what to do in Iceland. So we're planning to flood Iceland in prayer. So please come with us. So friends, he arranged all those things. And it's funny because everything that he arranged like fell apart. Even cars, even our vehicles that we would have to, that will take us from one spot to another, did not go through. The one guy who told us everything is already taken care of 5 days before. 5 days before our arrival, they just found out that everything fell apart. And you know how expensive it is in Iceland? Friends, a rent for your car for just 10 days, a simple car, this is not SUV, this is just an ordinary car, $1,500. 10 days rent. For here in the US, I don't have any idea, how much would it cost for 10 days? Like 300? $300 to $400. It's $1,500. It's not even a van. It's just a simple car. And friends, when we were there, we don't know how to do these things. You are given like nearly 50 missionaries or attendees that came from 6 different continents. And the age ranged from 14 years old to 73 years old. How are you going to work with these people? And when you come forward by faith in prayer, they should be united. I'm thinking, how can we do this? You know, it's not us. It's God. All He asks us is to spend time on our knees. Every morning, before we could even do some devotionals, before we could even have our breakfast, we spend time praying. In just 2 days, the Lord bonded this group and we became family. Isn't it amazing? And one testimony after another. Young people who went to this mission trip, they went to Iceland mission trip because of Iceland. Not because they want to go to mission. Some of them were sincere and some of them were saying, oh, what have I gotten myself into? I remember one guy who said in his testimony, the moment I saw them pray, I'm thinking, oh Lord, what have I gotten myself into? These people are serious with this mission. I'm thinking, I better get my act straight. And thinking, he was thinking, this is gonna be a torturous 10 days. Friends, you know what he said? That mission trip changed his life. He said, every single day he has experienced, and it's not just his testimony, it's a testimony of mostly the young people who went there. He said, every day I have sensed the presence of God with me. I know for a fact that I would not have done it without the Lord's leading, without the Holy Spirit's leading. Friends, one by one, we knocked on doors. One by one, we prayed around Iceland. We prayed with people. And friends, praying with people, praying with the Icelandic, it's just like, nothing works in Iceland, friends. The ministry in Iceland is not working. In the population of 300 plus thousand, I guess 350,000 population in Iceland, you know how many Adventists? A little more than 200? Or barely 200? That's how small our church in Iceland. And when we started the work in Iceland, it's quite scary as well, because the website that we have for Glow Iceland was not working. 2 days into distributing the Glow that has at the back of the Glow, it has this website that it's advertising, but our website is not up. So we are praying and praying and praying. Make long story short, the whole thing was done. And when the moment I flew back to North America, we have more than 1,200 visits in the website. More than 10 were asking for Bible study. And during this annual council, we heard report from the division president in Europe, and he said, one by one, people are coming to the church. And they said, we were moved by those people who came and prayed at our doorsteps. So we want to find a congregation where they are involved in. Friends, God is just amazing. God is good. And now 3 of the executive officers in the Iceland, in the division or the conference, somehow pledge to be the leaders in gathering people for prayer. They set up a prayer group, friends. And this is another thing in Iceland before I stop. And Iceland is very expensive, isn't it? As we have established a while ago. And we have a budget for food, feeding nearly 50 people, vegan food. We have a budget of $7,000. And $7,000, the person who was helping us, what's their family name again, Pastor Jagat? In Iceland, from that school? Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult to pronounce. But this family, they have been the ones who's been hosting people in. So they know the budget. And they said, so if you are having like 50 people and having this type of food, vegan, $7,000 is not enough for 10 days. So they were giving us that thought. $7,000 is not enough for 10 days. And friends, I tell you, our meal, morning, noon, and evening are spectacular. These are just delicious meals. These are just like Stephanie cooking meals. It's really delicious, friends. It's really delicious meals. And we're thinking, wow, this is amazing. But when, you know what? When the report later on was, when the report was given, you know how much did we spend for 10 days? A little more than $2,000. Little more than $2,000. And they said, this could not be true. Friends, the God that we serve is a powerful God. The God that we serve loves to show us that He is God. And we have to let Him. And this is one thing we realize. We spend more time meeting. We spend more time cracking our brains on what do we need to do. But we don't spend our more time humbling ourselves before God, asking Him, what do we need to do? Friends, we are living on desperate times. We're living on the edges of eternity. Let us move out of the way of God and let Him do His thing. Amen? And this is one thing I'd like to leave to you this afternoon, this Thanksgiving weekend. Let Him. Amen? Let Him. And the next year, by God's grace, I want to come back. We'll spend another week, was this Thanksgiving Sabbath. And by God's grace, I want to hear testimonies from you to see what God is about to show all of us. Because it didn't just happen in the Philippines. It happened in Iceland. It's happening everywhere. It's happening if we let God take control. If we humble ourselves before Him and see what He can do, what He will do. With that being said, I guess it's just proper to spend time at the foot of the cross. Amen?